Our kind Heavenly Father, as we approach Thy holy throne at the close of this beautiful day, we come to Thee rejoicing, our kind Heavenly Father, at the very opportunity that is ours. To gather together with our loved ones and to be able to approach Thy throne and to meditate upon the goodness and the joy and the happiness of life. To meet one with another and to visit, that we might bear witness one with another of the hope that we have within us. We know, our kind Heavenly Father, that all that is happiness within us is because of Thee, because of the outpouring of Thy Holy Spirit. And we come to Thee this night, our kind Heavenly Father, beseeching Thee that Thou would look upon us as a group of Thy children and minister unto each in their need, we beseech Thee, though they might be varied reasons. We pray that Thy Spirit would forgive and bless. And we pray that, Father, that we would have through Thee the opportunity and exercise that opportunity to be able to set the world aside. And that these days that have been set aside to come and to honor Thy holy name will be the days that we might come, and that each heart would have an invitation unto Thee that will allow Thy Spirit to come and embrace, to touch, and to strengthen. That as those who have gathered together this night and the days to come, that they will leave strengthened, wherein that they would have their feet set upon that rock that would enable them to overcome and to endure to the end. We ask of Thee, our kind Heavenly Father, to be gentle and kind and merciful unto our brother Joe Kidd, and minister unto him and his needs and his family. And as we come to Thee in our walk of life, our kind Heavenly Father, we pray Thee always that in all things that Thy will might be done, and that our will would be lost in Thine, and that we would be willing to submit to Thee, be willing to have Thy Holy Spirit to lead, to direct the lives of the children of men, wherein that they might find the peace and that joy and happiness abundance that comes through the knowledge and the gift of Thee, is given unto those who reach out their hands to hold mightily unto Thy. We pray, Father, for the sister this night who has asked to be administered to, that Thou would pour out Thy Spirit upon her in her need and lift her up and bless her. For Thou knowest, Father, that she will always give Thee the honor and the glory. We pray for Thy people, Father, for a greater faith and strength. Pray for the outpouring of Thy divine power of charity to touch and mold the hearts and the minds of each, that the word of the gospel might be extended with great power, that touch the souls and the lives of those who do hunger and thirst, those who weep and mourn, those who live in fear and confusion, that they will find and be able through Thee and through the vision of Thy Holy Spirit to see the light and to recognize the difference between the darkness and the warmth of Thee and of Thy divine love. We pray, Father, that Thou will be with Your servant tonight as he stands before us. Thou knowest the desire of his heart to truly speak of the influence of the Spirit of truth, to be guided and directed, that he would not speak that of his own thoughts or of his own will, but only as he is directed of Thee. So we pray Thee, Father, that You will loosen his tongue and give him liberty of thought and expression in Scripture, that he would stand and speak through the influence and power of Thy Holy Spirit, lead him to nourish the souls of these who have gathered together here this night. May each of us that bow before Thee prepare ourselves that we would be receptive for the message we pray Thee. Father, accept our praise for all the joy and all the many innumerable blessings of life that is ours. Accept our thanks for the gift of thy Son, for the gospel of Christ. We pray thee, Father, that our walk of life daily might express our gratitude unto thee. And we thank you for all the times we have approached thy holy throne, and you have heard and have extended thy hand of love to lift up and to bless those of our loved ones. Father, we're grateful for hearing our prayers, for holding and giving the ordinances whereby we might place our loved ones in your arms. So bless us now as we wait before thee. Prepare us each for the message of the hour, we ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
I'd like to direct your attention to Revelations, the 22nd chapter. The 11th, the 12th, and the 13th verses. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And then Christ speaks and he says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. May God bless the purpose we've joined here tonight for, I pray.
We'll now be blessed with a special number.
Thank you.
Much. That was very pretty. I don't very often have the opportunity to assist my brother that I'm assisting this evening because there seems to be a few miles that separate us most of the time, inasmuch that we don't have the opportunity to get together as often as we'd like. But he's been around enough to know that as I look out here on the audience this evening, that each of you know him. He doesn't need an introduction. And of course, to know our brother is to love him. And each of you, if you come, knows the desire of the brother's heart that stands here is to bring what God would direct him, which would be necessary for the welfare of our souls and not that of your own. When I went into a prayer service Wednesday evening there in Phoenix, my nephew Jim asking us to pray for this reunion said he'd like to have us prepare ourselves spiritually, to prepare our cup. And he says, not only just prepare your cup to receive while you were here, but to take a cup that runneth over. And as our brother stands tonight, and as you give him your prayers, and as we go through this reunion, whichever cup that you've brought, you can either have it filled and you can have it runneth over. And so I ask for my brother tonight, your careful and your prayerful attention. Hold up your cup. If you hold up your cup, you'll receive what's been given to him tonight to bring to each of us. My brother Bob Ory.
I can attest to you that there's no reserves on the love that I feel for Hubert and that I feel for each one of you. And I trust tonight that you'll do as he's asked and pray for me. There's a story
about the wheat fields out in Kansas. Now most everybody's here has seen the wheat fields of Kansas, when the wheat gets up high, and it just blows in the wind, and for literally for miles and miles and miles, you can see the stalks and the wheat just blowing in the wind, and it's a beautiful, it looks like an ocean of just total beauty, the gold against the sky and the sun. You have to realize that those are sweet blessings to not only appreciate that that's going to feed us, but the great beauty that sight that God created for you and for me is precious. But with my niece tonight, I feel like a story I heard about the wheat fields of Kansas. And I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart. One time there was this young couple that owned a farm out in Kansas, and the farmer had planted or had his home right in the middle of his hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of acres. And he had planted all this acreage in beautiful, beautiful wheat. The couple had a son. The son was about 3 years old, stood about so high. And the son, being born and raised out in this beautiful country, he enjoyed it too. He could go out and he could play in the yard under his mother and his dad's watchful eye, and he was well protected. One day, the mother became very concerned because she couldn't find her son, her little three-year-old son. And that little three-year-old son had gone off into that wheat field somewhere. And that little three-year-old son, she couldn't see him because the wheat stalks were far above that little three-year-old's head. And the father this day went out this way, and the mother went out this way. And that 24-hour period went by, and they couldn't find that child. So the next day, the father went out this way, and the mother went out this way. And they didn't find that little child. The next day, the dad went out this way, and the mom went out this way. They didn't find that little child. Finally, the fourth day, they called upon their brothers and sisters in the community. And they formed a big circle around this family. And they all went out. And they found that child dead from the elements. I feel so burdened tonight. Unless I can have your prayers and your support, I can't do the job that I feel very enthused and excited about to do. I need you to encompass me like that family. I need you to pray that I can give you the message that I feel is the will of our Father, that we share, that we cast off the shackles of fear, of apprehension and concern, and take on us the true gift that God has for each of us. And that is the gifts, the joys of heaven. I can't offer it. I can't cover that thousands upon thousands of acres of wheat without your help tonight. And I ask you from the bottom of my heart, pray for me. Pray for me that I can do the job. And like our brother Jim asked you and Phoenix to pray Wednesday night, we can drink from the cup that will overflow during this reunion. You know, from the beginning of time, Satan has tried to influence, to compromise, and to pollute God's word and God's ways. He's used subtle inferences and innuendos. He never attacks us head on, face to face. He never confronts us because we know, he knows we would recognize him. But very cautiously, he weaves his web, trying to grasp us and take us out of the hands of our Father that has promised and entered into a covenant with each one of us to protect us. He uses the simple suggestion. He uses playing on our self-righteousness, upon our self-centeredness, upon our selfishness. Satan strives, in Matthew it says, to deceive the very elect. And I believe that's you and I. Genesis 3, 1 through 6 tells of just such a story. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now we all know that that early in Genesis, we've got to be talking about the creation. We've got to be talking about Adam and Eve. We all know that this is the section, I'm sure, that deals with Eve and her confrontation with this slight innuendo, the slight alteration of what God had told his children, what God had told our older brother and sister. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent,
we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely not die. Now we understand that. We all can hear the gospel story told from our television, from our radios.
We can find it in any medium we wish, where they say, all you got to do is this portion. Surely God's grace and mercy is going to make up for your lacking. Which is true.
It really will. But like Satan said here, surely you shall not die. For God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil.
I believe Satan was right. I believe Satan was absolutely right. He was telling just exactly right. The day they took of that tree, the fruit of that tree, their eyes were going to be opened. And at that particular moment, they began to die, just like you and I when we're born. And we're 1 second closer to die, just like Adam and Eve was.
Surely you shall not die. Another example might be found on page 155 of the Book of Mormon, which is 2 Nephi 12, 25 through 24, 34. Page 155. And others will be pacified and lull them away into carnal security.
Let me see a show of hands, would you? Has anybody heard about the modern-day, quote, religious wars that are being waged? Has anybody heard of those? I want you to raise your hand if you believe they're honestly religious wars. Or are they the wars of jealous, possessive, selfish beings who are trying to take for personal, selfish, self-righteous gain? Religious wars, but what's happening to those of the God's children that don't know that that's not a religious war? They're turning their backs on it by groves because what these people, these commentators, these men of great wisdom and knowledge, what they're projecting upon this life, Satan is weaving his vicious web. And the mere definition of the word religion itself does not mean what God has put in your heart and my heart. They don't understand the covenant that goes along with being a part of the religion of Jesus Christ.
And others will pacify and lull them into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth. All is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears.
Isn't it interesting? In us, in all our wisdom, in all our vast science that we as mankind can encompass, we are suggesting the way to eliminate AIDS from our society
is not by abstention, but they're trying to find a way to make improper acts, immoral acts, safe.
I've only heard one scientist talk about keeping yourself pure and only being loyal to your mate. The first onset was to try to find a means to make improper sex, immoral sex, safe. There is no hell.
Do as you wish. Do as I want. My selfishness, my self-centeredness, feed me, do my thing, is what society would have us to do. And thus he whispereth in their ears, until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion.
Anybody understand what that last sentence that I just read meant? I hope everyone. We can't sit back on our laurels. We, the body of Christ, if we are willing to accept the responsibility that is inherent in the covenant that you enter into upon entering into the waters of baptism, it's a two-way contract.
Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men, and denieth the power of God and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received, and we need no more. Joseph Smith was visited in the grove. He went to a minister, quote, religious minister of those days. And what did that man tell him? You've got to be crazy. God doesn't talk to men of this day. Woe be unto him that saith, We have received, and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all those who tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness. And he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. Could I get a drink of water or something?
I'm about to die. First Corinthians 5:6 says, a little leaveneth the whole loaf. You can't be just a little guilty. Excuse me.
You can't be just a little guilty.
A little leaveneth the whole loaf. You understand the conviction that's in that for us. Think about the gospel that we have been entrusted with, this greater life that we have been promised, that our brother spoke up earlier when he held up these books and talked about the modern day revelation. He wasn't pretending. That's a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ, entrusted with the word. A little leaven leaveneth the whole thing. You can't be just a little guilty. Brothers and sisters, simply, we are the children of God, or we are not the children of God. There is no in-between. God himself has said, there is no middle of the road. Let's go to... Let's go to 1 John. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Let's read the first 11 verses. Now, do me a favor. As we read this, take it personal, would you? Would you pretend that this is talking to you, just like it's talking to me?
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law,
For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Anybody keeping score? There's your players. Jesus Christ himself came to conquer Satan. And he did it because of his love for us. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then the conviction. Over on page 395 of the Book of Mormon, we're given a warning. We're given a warning if we falter after we have received. The doors are not shut. Repentance is ours. Forgiveness is available. But read what it says in the 58th verse. And thus we can plainly discern that after a people have been once enlightened by the Spirit of God and have had great knowledge of things pertaining to righteousness, and then have fallen away into sin and transgression, they become more hardened, and thus their state becomes worse than though they had never known these things. In the Bible, it talks about a very similar situation, except it says that if Christ was crucified for your sins, you have made it naught. It's crucifixion. Hebrews. That's a pretty powerful warning that's placed for you and I. This reunion, we have the chance to feel the uplifting power of Jesus Christ. Will you accept it? Will we take part of the will that God has for us? Will we feed the peace that our Master has for us? That's a question that we ourselves have to answer. Now, with these bases established, I'd like to take you to what's bothering me. What's causing all this harangue and all this hoorah. First, let's open our scriptures to John, the 10th chapter. John, the 10th chapter. Now, I'd like for you to hold your finger right there, if you would. And open your Book of Mormons to page 218, which is Messiah, the first chapter. 218. And I'm going back to John, the 10th chapter, and I'd like to read the 3rd and the 4th verse. Then I'd like to read Messiah, first chapter, the 119th verse. And this is what I've had on my mind. This is what I'm trying to deliver to you tonight. Trying to impress upon you tonight that we have to ward ourselves away from and protect ourselves. And the only way we can do that is through the power and the glory and the love of Jesus Christ. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. These next five words are the powerful words that are bothering me. For they know his voice. Do you understand the inference that that places upon us? If we are his sheep, we must be able to discern. Of course, I looked at the word discern, and the word discern means discover. We are to discover his word throughout this reunion, throughout our lives. We must, if we are his sheep, be able to discern his voice. and then Mosiah, the first chapter, the 119th verse. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. Discernment and understanding. Are you a natural man? Or have you gone on beyond that point? The question that comes to mind is like I've just offered. Can we discern the voice of our Master, or are we still, too much so, the natural man? Does this then mean that if we do not hear and respond to the word and the voice of our Master, does it mean that we are not the children of God? I'm afraid our actions, or lack of actions in some cases, would have to be the convicting source in that question. I believe if we go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, the 37th verse, we find a place where Christ spoke boldly to our brothers and sisters of old. But you know what? I think he's speaking just as boldly to you and to me tonight, and throughout this reunion, and throughout the balance of our lives. The question is, will and how will we respond to the 23rd chapter, the 37th verse? Now, as I see this, I always picture in my mind's eye Christ standing on the hill overlooking Jerusalem. I see Christ with tears in his eyes. I'd like for you, if you would, to picture that. Trust me. Picture Christ sitting on a hilltop with tears in his eyes saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. And the next four words, and ye would not. Can you accept Christ crying over that statement that he made? I don't think it's too hard. Because he showed, he testified, he lived his love for us. He exemplified the love of the Father for us. Is it difficult to imagine him crying as he overlooked Jerusalem and said, and ye would not? I asked our sister Grace Rudd permission to remind you all of something. Last year, if you remember, if you were here, you remember that our sister told us of a dream, I believe, right? And I hope she'll correct me if I'm wrong on this, if I go too far or off. But she said in her dream that she would have been invited to a wedding. She didn't know where the wedding was. All she knew, she was heading east. And she came close to the temple lot. Not that it was specially there or not, but she came close and she stopped and she went inside. And she heard voices. They were teaching. And they were teaching, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And our sister tells her testimony that she had bought a new dress for this wedding. Believe me, folks, I just went through it. They do buy new dresses. And new dresses and more new dresses they buy.
But our sister had this new dress, and as she left, apparently, our brother Nicholas came outside and he said, Sister, you can't go to the wedding.
She was taken back.
I can go to the wedding. He says, you can't go to the wedding. You don't have the right shoes. Is that right?
hole. She didn't have any shoes on. She looked down, and she didn't have any shoes on. She was not in the proper wedding attire. You know the devastating part about it? Was that when she woke up, she had her shoes in her hand. She woke up out of the dream. Is that true? She woke up out of the dream and had her shoes in her hand.
I believe that's the truth of God himself.
You see, I think our sister represents every one of us here. We know what the wedding apparel is. We know that it's within these scriptures that we have been blessed to use as our guide. But do we use them? Do we discern the meanings and the teachings that Christ himself came down and gave his life for each one of us to have? Do you hear and recognize and discern and discover the voice of our Master that speaks?
Here's a story. And Belinda and Jennifer are going to have to forgive me because I told the story on Sunday. Last Sunday night I preached.
There's a story about a football coach. And this football coach was a good football coach. He taught his boys all the basics that were necessary to be a winning team. And you know what? Sure enough, his team won conference that year. They took his team up to conference. They went out the first half. I don't know how many of you know much about football, but you've got the offense that takes the ball and tries to get over the goal line to score, right? You've got the defense that's trying to stop the offense from doing that. And you got a position on the defensive line, the center, nose guard. And this coach that had taught his boys real well all the basic fundamentals, taught his boys how to block and tackle and everything, his team was flat getting blown out of the field. No way, shape, or form. I mean, this nose guard, every time that ball was hiked, he would come off that ball, break through that line, and mess up the play before they could even move. Three plays, the fourth one they'd kick. Now, this coach had taught them that if you, in blocking, if you hit somebody low, I don't care how big they are, they're going to fall. And he had taught his boys that. And boy, it was 15 plays, and that nose guard would just get through there every time, would get into the backfield where they had the ball, would tackle them for a loss every time. So finally, the coach went over to his second stringer. He said, Johnson, get in there and take right guard for Murphy. That was the position where this center nose guard was just blowing over. Boy, time after time, he said, Johnson, get in there and take that position. No, Johnson picked up his helmet. He says, Coach, I'll try. He says, wait a minute, Johnson, sit down. I got somebody in there that's already trying. What I need is somebody in there that'll do the job. You get the story? Jesus Christ has an offensive line right here. We are limited only by our lack of a willing desire to receive his knowledge and to move out in faith believing, discovering his will, and marching down that field of accomplishment. Don't grab your helmet and try. Understand that we have the basics that will carry us across that line and allow us to be a part of the winning team. Brothers and sisters, God's word will not be forfeited. It will be fulfilled, whether it's by you or me. That's another matter. That's dependent upon our ability and our willingness, to, like the song said that we sung earlier, to pay the price. A question I think is a fair question might be, why is it even necessary that we know the voice of our Master? I think
that's given to us in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 23rd and the 24th verse. And probably every one of you are aware of what I'm going to read. Pardon me. Why is it necessary that we know the voice of our Master? This is Christ talking. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not. Anybody hear the testimony about the, and I forget this, and I'm not talking fun, I'm serious, about the 600 foot Christ that came and told a man to build a hospital in Tulsa? A city where they already had 12 hospitals? A city where the city gathered together and petitioned and worked from the legal sense to keep him from building that? A hospital that is not yet completed? That stands empty and is not paid for? Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch. Can you believe a man of his life can turn over the reins to a $279 million operation that started with absolutely nothing? They didn't have a camera. They didn't have a sound stage. $279 million later, they turned the reins over to another person. Brothers and sisters, I'm not throwing stones at those people. And I'm praying that we can recognize them for the signs of the times for what they are. If the truth is not in them, they are not Jesus Christ. No way can you state it that they are. You can't force it. If it's not God's will. Why is it necessary to know the Master? Because the Master, time and time and time and time again, has said the same consistent thing. For you, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Repent and come unto me. Come unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit. Come to me and Father, the beautiful opportunity we have Sunday morning to partake of the emblem of the broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus Christ. How many of us have made the necessary preparation that we can come in the attitude of me and receptive, praying for the spirit of discernment to be in our midst, not only to ward off the evil spirits, but to welcome in the voice of God Himself? You see, it's a two-edged sword. Satan will try to thwart God's word. We sing that from the scriptures. But God will not allow it. And God will convey this purpose to His people. My question is, if His sheep do not hear Him, are they His sheep? For the Master calls them by their name. When you're baptized, our name is taken and added to the Lamb's book of life. He knows us. More importantly, He knows our heart. More importantly, do we know His voice? Can we discern or discover the good parts that are available to us, as well as pray for the protection of the bad parts? I think it's appropriate that we try to find out how to determine this. This weekend, right now, this minute. And I'm not going to give you all the answers, because I don't know all the answers. I know the source where we can find out. And nobody on the mountain. But I think one of the ways that we can find the Spirit of God and discern the voice of our Master can be found in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 21st to the 24th verse. You used to have a friend.
Of the flesh and of the mind. And we're
by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
And since then, by read and open scripture, Revelation, that it is by our works, and tested by us. But brothers and sisters, know this and know this. I don't care how strong. We cannot, not even the science, not do it on our own. It is only the grace of God. Leave your heart to be filled. Your desire to be fulfilled will certainly be fulfilled. You love one another,
said the first John. Because a new commandment I give unto you, to love one another. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God.
A lot of people use that against the resurrection. We believe that if we are convicted and entrenched in the will of God, then it is necessary that we perform the works along with it.
We have read in Revelation, and I don't know anybody that disagrees with what I read as an opening scripture back here in the 22nd chapter. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be.
It's not a contradiction. To understand. So that we will judge the will and the work of God. Because the being of an instrument is not for protection.
The question is, will we accept? We recognize our minister's voice. Only one way that I can see, and that's by constant prayer. I think it tells us that on page 430 of the Book of Mormon, the 219th through the 229th verses. Yea, humble yourselves, and continue in prayer unto him, cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. To him into your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning and midday and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the powers of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flock of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. He must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, and when ye do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full. Draw on out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those who are around you. And now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and afflicted, and impart of your substance, if ye have, to those who stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing, and ye are as hypocrites. Anybody question what the word hypocrite there means? It's pretty specific. It's pretty definite. Who do deny the faith? Therefore, if ye do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and it's trodden under foot of men. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, how many witnesses have we received? Think of your own mind. How many times has God's word been reaffirmed? How many times have you been confirmed and reaffirmed and reassured? What is true and absolute, it does not change, and it will not return to him void. Seeing that the Holy Scriptures tell
that these things come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that you would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. Behold, now is the time, in the day of your salvation. Just in case anybody missed that, okay? I'd like to read again. Now is the time, in the day of your salvation. Therefore, if you will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Debating a subject with you. All I'm trying to do is to get you to help me. Not procrastinate my day of repentance. Last Sunday night I suggested that we all make ourselves this list. Don't show it to anybody. Just make your own little private list and open it up 10,000 times and put it and keep it in your books and don't show it to anybody. And at the top, put my repentance list. And be honest when you number down the side. And when you fill in those numbers, be honest. Then check off each one of those that you work on. And you pray and fast and go to the Lord that He might help you to overcome that jealousy, that prejudice, that misinterpretation, that unkind word. Whatever you turn forward, that Paul talked about, put it on your list and privately go to the Lord and ask Him to help you overcome it. And when we discern that spirit, when we discern the power of God, let's be sure and go to page 634 and 635 of the Book of Mormon, which is 3 Nephi 5, 29 through 43, because it says contention is not of the Lord, but contention is the devil. Page 634 and page 635. And there shall be no disputations among you, as there hath hitherto been, neither shall there be disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine, as there hath hitherto been. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine to stir up the hearts of men with anger one against another, but this is my doctrine that such things should be done away. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine, and this is my doctrine, and it is a doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father, and whoso believeth in me, believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me. And the Holy Ghost will bear record of me, unto him of the Father and me, and for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as little children, and be baptized in my name, or you can in no wise receive these things. Remember what our sister heard him teaching in her dream? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the message.
unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name and become as little children, as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. I think in summary, I'd like to use King Benjamin's summary on page 223 of the Book of Mormon. And this is the close of King Benjamin's presentation, starting with the 48th to the 50th verse. And finally, I cannot tell you. Now, King Benjamin's been expounding to his people, knowing he's going to die. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin, for there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if ye do not watch yourselves, and your thoughts, and your words, and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the ends of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. My prayer is certain that our God will richly bless us throughout this reunion and throughout the balance of our lives. But my prayer is also that we will be wise enough to discern where those blessings come from. And we will stand strongly upon those blessings. May God bless us all, Israel.
We feel man's power to walk upright in justice, holiness, and purity. We would not only glorify that holy name, that we would endure to the end of the day. Bless us, Father, as we meet on the tomorrow, that each heart will come prepared, that thy spirit might freely work to touch and to move and to bless, strengthen, to relieve the burden of the minds and the souls of those who be gathered together. Minister unto each who have asked for special interest in our prayer, and that we, Father, shall always go to the mountain of God.